I haven't used it by now, right?
You don't masturbate? Of course you need
the prostate. Recently. My computer's
broken. What do you need the prostate for? What's the prostate?
Welcome to Feudal Podcast. We're going to talk about, what do you guys want to start with?
I can talk about Glengarry Glen Ross.
Definitely. You should watch Oleana. It's a good movie. Okay, Glengarry Glen Ross. It's based on a play written by David Mamet, and then he wrote the screenplay in which the addition of the Alec Baldwin character doing the sales conference bit at the beginning
was
an added bit because he wrote it for Alec Baldwin to do because he knew he could do it. And it's got some good stuff.
It does.
It has the ABC thing, yeah. Always Be Closing, which my friend keeps telling me in reference to women.
Mm-hmm. Always Be Closing.
Always Be Closing.
I mean, he's having sex with them.
No, he doesn't actually mean that. He means just like, you know, let them know that you are interested or something. Mm-hmm. Whatever. And then there's AIDI, which is Attention, Interest, Decision, Action. So probably the same kind of thing. Anyway, this stuff all applies.
What about
to
the thing where he talks about
brass balls? And
yeah. And he talks about somebody asks what his name is, and he says, my name? Yeah. My name? Fuck you, that's my
name.
That's
my name.
Yeah.
Because Mitch and Marie sent me down here.
Hey. And he talks about his car and his watch.
The loser's much, yeah. I drive a $80,000 BMW. My watch costs more than, you know.
Yeah, that was good.
Times are tough. I feel like they're whipping a dead horse. It basically, it's the kind of it's a play.
It's a play, and it's really,
but it's really well shot. In this very, it's, to me, it feels like a film. It's a film noir, though. It's not a traditional type. It's film noir, like The Sweet Smell of Success is a film noir. It's not about detectives, but it is about a dark, wet, rainy place. I mean,
desperate people.
You could desperate people, and it's got that kind of lighting scheme, sort of, in some parts. In some parts, it's very straightforward. Like in The Office, it is. But in the Chinese restaurant where they kind of do all of their phone calls and things, it's very artistically lit. There's some green lights and red lights. I mean, it's the kind of movie you could almost like watch like with Blade Runner. Like you could watch Glengarry Glen Ross and then watch Blade Runner on a rainy Friday night, and it would feel like they went hand in hand, sort of in a weird sense. I would. That's weird. That's me. They're all about trying to get these good leads, which are the Glengarry leads for this section of property that only closers get. So it's kind of like this, if you're a loser, you're born a loser, and you're going to stay a loser. And if you can't get good, get good leads, you can't work with anything.
Right, exactly.
You know?
It's this catch-22 thing, mm-hmm. where the guy who's already winning is going to get the good leads eventually. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's got the jazzy soundtrack that just totally reinforces the sort of noir feel. There's this whole sense of, like you said, desperation versus confidence. And then Al Pacino has this whole thing about where he's talking to the guy from Brazil, whose name is completely escaping me right now. He was also in Evita. But anyway, he's talking to him about, you know, it's about life's about events, life's about opportunities, good or bad, whatever. He's trying to, that's his sales pitch. And then, you know, never open your mouth unless you know what the shot is. That's the real key. Kevin Spacey is the sort of guy that they all think is an idiot, and he kind of is, and he's kind of not really paying attention to how, like, the sales side of it is. He's just sort of the guy jerking him around. And, I mean, it's really good for analysis of, it's really the sort of thing that you have to almost just, you just have to watch it. It's kind of tough to talk about because of the nature of what's going on there, but it's about the nature of desperation, men trying to get one over on one another, you know. One person is, you know, another person's prey, essentially. Mm-hmm. It's very much about that. I don't know if it's necessarily a criticism of the capitalist society. I don't think it's anything that extreme or that political.
Right.
But
I think it's more a study of what makes these men tick
absolutely.
And one of them is the one who's, was it Sheldon? Is that his name? Shelley,
yeah.
He's
Shelley the Machine Levine.
Yeah. And he's the one who's complaining about the unfairness of everything after times have turned hard for him.
Yeah.
Which, were they ever good for him? It's been a while since I've seen
He was the machine. Shelley the Machine Levine. Al Pacino's the character that's doing really well now. He's Ricky Romo. Mm-hmm. And there's Moss, who's Ed Harris. And then there's Alan Alda, whose character name I forget. And Moss is sort of the most malcontentious, unhappy, bitter about the fact that he's not getting... He's like third or something.
He bitches the most.
Jack Lemmon's kind of just pathetic.
Yeah.
But there's this story that's never really revealed, and you never really need to. It's just about he's on the phone with doctors in a hospital about his daughter or something. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like... There's a real sense of that he needs a win, he needs some money, but he's just been in the craps for a long time, and he's trying to get horned in on these good leads, because once you get something good, if you're a good salesman, you can work with it. But I mean, you know, even if you're all these other guys that are winning and say, oh, you know, well, they're winning because they're getting the good stuff, or they happen to win and then that got them better good stuff, and you know, it's kind of like once you get on a good track, then you're going to stay on a good track by and large, unless you're just incompetent in what you do. And they're all probably good salesmen, but if they're getting fed shit, and even Jack Lemmon, in the end, this is reinforced because he thinks he sold a bunch with crap, and Kevin Spacey comes to him and says, those people, they just like to talk to salesmen. You know, the check will bounce. That's no good. That doesn't count. You lost. And it's like, well... Then he lost with the leads that they gave him, essentially. Mm-hmm. You know, they gave him crap to begin with, so how was he ever going to win? So it's a very nihilistic kind of play.
Lose.
Yeah, well, he wasn't so much set up to lose as it's just this sense of it's kind of this epitome of the like super right wing criticism of the poor or something. It's like, come on. Just solve your problems. Do it. You know, it's like if there's no infrastructure or capacity to do it, then how can you do it, you know? How can you just, through sheer ingenuity, make things happen? Because sometimes it doesn't work that way, you know? People don't just succeed. They either, there's a lot of luck involved in certain respects. And I think that's really what's going on there. So that was Glengarry Glen Ross. I don't think it's really... Not a World of Men... There's no adventure. That's a line that Al Pacino says towards the end of the film. Sort of everything's just kind of changed. It's not about men. They're just kind of squandery, impish creatures almost.
I wonder what Mamet thinks about himself as a director, because his most well-known plays are, and probably best received, are Glengarry and Speed the Plow. And the film they make of Glengarry is directed by James Foley.
Yeah.
Who's pretty much a career hack. He directed some Madonna videos and then a bunch of crap. He did, like...
It looks good.
Well, that's the thing,
it's
though.
It's well composed.
The thing, though, like, why did he give up, basically, property and ownership of his most famous, greatest play? Well, then he does Oleana. And then, like, many other times he's directed other films.
Glengarry was 92. It might have just been... When was House of Games? Because it might have literally just been before he decided
House
he wanted
was
to direct.
87.
Hmm.
87.
Maybe he had bad experiences directing early on and got scared away from it for a while. I don't know. I can't hypothesize. All I can say is that James Foley did a good job. It looked good. It had a nice aesthetic that I liked.
One thing I think is interesting, like James Foley did the closest thing to a Mamet Khan film without Mamet being involved. This movie called Confidence. We were seeing that with Ed Burns.
Okay, yeah.
That was James Foley about, you know, 5 years after Glengarry or something like that, 7 years, something like that.
Mm. Are you kidding me? If Glengarry came out in 92, Confidence came out in like 2001.
It might have been.
It was almost 10 years.
Yeah. But it's interesting that, like, I don't know, maybe he's now his hero or something.
It's possible.
And yeah, it's interesting. Like, his stuff is definitely made to be admired as writing more than it is in visuals for the most part. That's why
it's the dialogue. Yeah. It's the interactions and the
That's
plot.
One of the reasons why I really do like the things that he writes that other people direct for the most part. And one of the problems I have with Glengarry like that, not that I have a problem with film because I really liked it, but I still find it interesting that since that's not something that needed someone else's sensibilities,
that's right.
Like a certain look or any sort of action direction or anything like that. Because I mean, Mamet's already said in as many words that he believes he can direct actors better than anyone on the planet. So, why not take that on for your baby, you know? And then, I understand that he does something like writes for The Edge and writes for Ronin and stuff like that, because he's getting money to make his own, to sit on his ass for a year and write a play the next time around. So, I appreciate those movies, though, because it's somebody with an eye for visuals and detail and actors acting for real. And not just saying lines in a rapid-fire way. And ends up having probably more tension in it. there's probably more suspense and tension in something someone else directs as opposed to him. He has a way with words and with plot, but the more I watch his stuff, the less I think he has a way with setting up tension in the visuals and with timing.
Yeah,
with timing possibly. In terms of the editing and shot selection and stuff like that. It's there, but it's not as exciting, and it still feels like
I still want you to check out the unit. And
I'm going to rent that pretty soon.
But you probably want to do that after you procreate.
Mm-hmm.